Before I get into my message and I tell you where I'm going to be in the text, I would like for you to fill in the blank. Okay? Pastor Ed has a bad, and then I want you to fill it in, okay? But first, I want to give you a word picture. Okay? And then every one of you are going to think of a one word to fill in that blank, okay? Pastor Ed has, or Reverend Vasquez has a bad, and then you put in whatever word you want in there, right? But first, let me give you a word picture. Let me role play this, okay? Tell me what word you would insert in the blank if you saw this. Welcome, welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. That's okay. Better late than never, eh? That's not part of my word picture. They literally just showed up. But go ahead and sit down. Out there in the traffic, they don't even give you a chance to park the car. Man, this place is cold. Man, this is terrible. What are you guys looking at? What's funny? Gee, I can't stand it sometimes. You know, I just get bored and stop looking at me. Gee whiz, what's so funny? I mean, what is there to look at? Whew. That. They don't even clean up the snow in the parking lot so cars can park. What does one have to do around here to get the work done? Hate that. All right, what word would you use?
Grumpy.
What else?
Mean.
Yep, Pastor Ed has a bad mean. Pastor Ed has a bad grumpy. Any other word? Yes.
Problem.
Pastor Ed has a bad problem. Yes. Anybody, there's one word I'm looking for. Yeah, that's a few.
That's not one word.
Huh? Okay. That's you. Huh?
You have a bad attitude.
Attitude, yeah. He's got a bad attitude. He's never come in here like that complaining and, you know, just making a big deal out of nothing. He's got a bad attitude. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Sometimes that is easy to detect, right? I just gave you a reason to say that I have a bad attitude. But how about displaying how about having a bad attitude where people can't see it? But it's in your mind, it's in your heart. You don't verbalize it like I just did. You don't display it with your actions, right? But you have a bad attitude. It could be towards your mom, it could be towards your dad, it could be towards your sister, your brother, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, your teacher at school. It could be towards anyone. Sometimes you can have a bad attitude even towards yourself. I can't stand the way I look, I can't stand this, and you have this bad attitude. Now what I'd like to do is call to your attention, if you have your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 2. That's where I'm going to be at this afternoon. And I am going to put the sermon notes over here on the table here. And when we are done, you can keep the folder too. Just please, I'm going to ask that every one of them, I made plenty of copies. I believe I have plenty of copies here. I'd like you to take a copy of that, okay? Because I believe that by the grace of God and the working of the Spirit, perhaps this message will help you in coping and dealing with your attitude. And I'm making reference more or less to a bad attitude, because we can have good attitudes as well. Boy, they have such a good attitude. But oftentimes we hear more of, boy, they have a bad attitude. Boy, her attitude is bad. Boy, his attitude stinks. Boy, your attitude. So let's see if we can get something from this message today. I want you to look specifically at verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. And if you are like me, I'm reading the NIV version of the Bible. And this is what I find in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Does anyone else have a different translation of the Bible with them? I'm interested in knowing how that other version will translate that same verse. Because I know the King James says something like, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Does anyone have any other translation that reads otherwise? No? Okay, basically that's the same thing. In the King James, again, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But when it's talking about the mind, it's literally talking about the attitude. Let this attitude be in you, just as it was in Christ Jesus. Now, drop down to verse 14, same chapter. Verse 14 through 16. This is what I'm going to read. This is how the Bible reads. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. You see that? Okay? Let me read it again. Verse 14, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Okay, we're not here to have fun. We're here to worship God. And we worship God by reading His Word, and the person here teaching His Word and preaching His Word, and you by listening. But at the same time, we can also make illustrations and have a little fun in the process as well. So let's think about this for a moment. Has there ever been a time where you have done something after having complained and argued? Has that ever happened? Yeah, it's happened, right? Some of us admit. Even me, I'm 49, I'll be 50 in May. Married, 3 children, right? My wife and I have 3 girls. And even I find myself sometimes complaining. And when you say argue, we're not talking about arguing in a very mean way. We're talking arguing insofar as presenting your case as to why you shouldn't do this. At least do it now. That's in a form arguing, okay? You know, like, doing dishes or cleaning your room, which is very typical for young people right now. I know because we go through that as well at home. You know, we have 3 girls. We don't have any sons, so we don't know what it's like to have boys at home. But for having girls, you know, we go through that process where, you know, clean your room. And it's, okay, I'll do it in a little while. And I'm so tired right now. And basically, they're complaining. It is rare where we, I can almost say that it's rare that we say, you know, go clean up your room and pop, they shut off, turn off the TV or the Nintendo or whatever it is or whatever they're doing at the time, and they go do it right away with this happy, joyous face. Oh, of course, Mom, Dad. I love you so much. Anything you tell me to do, I'm going to do. No, usually it's that, can this wait until the show's over, or can I wait till I finish this game, or can I wait until this, and it's always kind of like that. Not malicious resistance, but they kind of like make them complaining and arguing that, you know, they could wait until this and wait until later, not now type of deal. But the Bible tells us, do everything, not just certain things, but everything, without complaining and without arguing. Why do you think the Bible tells us that? Anybody? Let's talk about that. Why do you think God says in His Word, for all of us, not just the young people, but the older people, us, adults, why should I do things without complaining and arguing? Why? Tell me. Why should I do that? Anybody? Anybody want to take a guess at it? No? Okay. Let me give you the number one reason why I should do that. The number one reason why I should do things without complaining and arguing is because that instruction or those instructions come from God. And when God tells me to do something, I must do what He tells me to do. Tell me if this isn't true. If your parents tell you, you must do this, will you do it? Yeah? Of course. So your parents, they're looking out for your interests. They're out for your well-being. So if they're telling you to do this, trust me and trust them. It's for your betterment. It's for your good. So you do it. The same thing with the Bible. When the Bible tells us, when God tells us, do everything without complaining and arguing, we must do everything. That includes dishes, cleaning the room, homework, applying ourselves 100% to get that A, and not to settle for anything less because we want to do something else. Well, a B is good enough. It is. But could you have gotten an A? Had you applied yourself a little bit more, could you have gotten an A instead of a B? Yeah? Well, then go for it. Don't settle for less because you say, well, if I spend time with my friends at her house and have fun doing this, doing that, and I entertain the flesh, as it were, and have a lot of good time, and still get a B, then I have the best of both worlds. Not really. Why sacrifice a good grade when you can have it because you want to spend time with your friends or something like that? Okay? So do everything without complaining. Now, I want to get into my message here. A good attitude can make all the difference in the world. The attitude of the mind can make the difference between winning and losing and between a good day and a bad day. It all depends on your attitude. How would you like it if you went to school Monday morning, tomorrow morning, and your teacher does what I just did to illustrate the point? He or she walks in there and they just had an argument at home with their husband or wife or their kid. And right before they get to their classroom, they're still having this terrible attitude, and they're taking it out on the students as much as they would rather not behave that way or come across like that, they do. That wouldn't be fair to you, would it? No. Therefore, you got to think about this yourself as well. Why should my bad attitude, why should other people suffer the consequences of my bad attitude? I must adjust my attitude properly, in such a way, as the Bible says, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. In other words, basically, it's so that you can have a good testimony. If your attitude is good, not only will you have a good testimony, your day is going to turn out to be pretty good. Even if something happens that causes your attitude to kind of change a little bit. But if you can dominate that, you will have a good day. Now, please keep these five thoughts in mind, and these are going to be on the outline. A good attitude must precede all that you do. Okay? Let me say that again. A good attitude must precede everything that you do. Because if you have a bad attitude before you do something, what you do is not going to be done to its best. You follow that? Let me give you an example. And again, I don't want to pick on this scenario, but this is one of the best illustrations I can use because of our own home and with our own girls. If I tell any one of my three daughters, and if I had three sons, it would be the same thing. If I said to any one of my three sons, go clean the garage, or the one of the girls, go clean your room, straighten it out, get the dirty laundry together, and, you know, I want to go in there in an hour or two and make sure that it's all done. And if they go in to carry out their task with a bad attitude, how well do you think that room is going to be cleaned? How well do you think the garage is going to be clean if they have a bad attitude? If the attitude is, I don't want to do this. dumb job, and oh, why do I have to do it now, and oh, I can't believe they're forcing me to do this now. And I'm not saying that you do that. I'm just saying that that role, that scenario can easily play out. So your heart is not in it because your attitude is so negative. But if you look at it from the perspective that, you know, if I get it done right the first time, I won't have to go back in there again and do it a second time. It would be nice for my parents to come and see that when I'm done, they can say, you did a great, a well job. Job well done. A good job. You did a good job carrying this out. And there'll be smiles and everything, and who knows, maybe take you to Friendly's or something. But a good attitude must precede everything that you do in life. Let's just get rid of the bedroom now for a second, or the garage or anything. But anything. Even approaching someone else and befriending them, or going to someone else and just having some fellowship. Good attitude must be there first. Secondly, a good attitude precedes a good reward. When you do good, the Bible says here in verse 14 again, do everything without complaining or arguing, okay? That is, have a good attitude before you do things, so that you may become blameless and pure. In other words, if you have a good attitude, the reward is that you're going to be blameless and pure. In other words, there's a reward for having a good attitude, for doing something in a good state of mind. Okay, there's a reward. So a good attitude precedes a good reward. You want to be compensated properly. You want to be able to have your parents say yes to something that you really want them to say yes to. You know, something that you're asking for, something like you're looking for, or want to go visit with a friend. You know? Oh, you know, mom, dad, you know, everybody at school is wearing North Face jacket. Can you get me one? You know, or the Ux boots, or whatever, all these kind of stuff that's out there. Or can I get a Nintendo Wii, or whatever it is. You want your parents to say yes to that? Then what do you want to do? You want to have a good attitude. You want to make sure that when they tell you to do something, you're going to do it, and you're going to do a very good job. Because your attitude is in check, it's good, and you're going to get rewarded. Mom and Dad's going to say, you know what? I'll look into that. That's possible. They're going to think, you know, when I tell them to do this, to do that, you know, I'm getting good reports from the school. Let me give you number three. A good attitude can bring a faultless life. Fault. You know, in other words, a pure life. Blameless life. Bring a faultless. It's not fault. It's less life. In other words, there's no fault in this person. Okay? Good attitude. You got two siblings going at it. One is saying this, the other one's saying this, and the parent is caught in the middle saying, okay, one of you is telling me the truth and the other one's lying. Which one is telling me the truth and which one's telling me a lie? I go back to Solomon in the Bible. Just two women came to him. For him to make a decision as to what they're going to do with this child. Here's a child. The two women are saying, he's my son. The other one says, no, he's my son. So Solomon in all his wisdom said, here's what I'm going to do. Both of you are claiming that this is your son. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut the kid in half, and you can both have each. You can each have a half of the boy. So the mother, the woman who said that he was her son but really wasn't, was satisfied with that result. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Seems ridiculous. Whereas to the real mother of the boy said, no, don't do that. Because she didn't want to see his son. She didn't want to see her son split. So she said, no, don't do that. Because she really loved the kid and didn't want any harm to come to him. So the father or the mother says, okay, one of you is telling me the truth and one is lying. Did she touch you or not? No, I didn't touch her. Yes, you did touch me. Yes, you did borrow that without asking me. Yes, you did. Were any sisters here? Do we have sisters? We have some sisters here? Yeah? Okay, so you know what it's like a little bit, maybe? Why are you wearing my sweater? Well, I don't know. It matches my outfit today. You didn't ask me. Take it off. And you get into one of those, right? Right? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Boys, the same thing. Jackets, you know, whatever. Why are you borrowing my basketball? Well, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Were you using it without asking me? Now you're giving me a bad attitude! So you gotta be careful with that, okay? A good attitude will lead the parent to say, or the teacher, or the Sunday school teacher, or the pastor, whatever, to say, you know, this she's telling me the truth. He's telling me the truth. How can you tell? I just sense it. Their attitude. They're willing to talk and cooperate. Okay? And you just you find that person is the one that has no fault. Number four, a good attitude can make you shine like a star. He says it here in the text as well. He says here in verse 15, so that you can be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse and deprived generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. How would you like to be the individual in your church here? Because in the church, everybody talks the Christian language, right? In the church, everybody likes to talk about and exhibit love and act as though, you know, they have the love of Christ in them. In the church and everything. Out there is a different world. But how would you like to be the one who stands out and shines like a star because of the attitude that you display under different circumstances and situations? To be the one that people say, you know what? Boy, that person has a great, great attitude. He shines or she shines because of the way that they carry themselves. And boy, you can go up to them and ask them anything and they'll be willing to help. They'll be willing to come and participate. Like this young man just got up here. It's called by Brother Babington and came up here and prayed, participated. You know, when we close the service today, they'll ask someone to come and close us in the doxology. And Ellen comes up here and plays. Or Gracie plays too, right? Is she Gracie here today?
No.
No, she's not. Okay. Oh, others. I've seen others come over here and play. They participate. You say, boy, I can always call on Ellen to play the keyboard. And she comes and plays. Watch. Today, she'll probably be called on. I don't know who's scheduled to do it. But wouldn't you be shocked if she came up and said, I always get called to do that. Hey, where's the music? There's no music here. Are we done? You would be quite surprised if she did that, right? Usually I see her coming down. She comes over here. I'm not mimicking her walk. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to be a kid. There's no music. She says it's so nice, too, and polite. Past couple of weeks, past few times, the music hasn't been here. Today, they're well prepared. They got the music. Not that they haven't been prepared before, but it's just maybe they forget about it. And she goes, well, there's no music. And one of the others will run back and get the music, and she's waving. Well, it's not plugged in. Well, I'm sorry, plug it in, and she's waving. Then finally, everything is set, and then she plays. Good attitude. Serving well. A light that shines like a star. You could do the same thing. Do it here at church, you can do it at home, you can do it at school, wherever you find yourself. You want to be able to be the one where the spotlight shines. But you know why? It's because of your attitude. You have a good attitude. Okay, let me give you number five. A good attitude will bring boldness with God's Word. Boldness with God's Word. Look at the latter part of the first part of verse 16 where it says, as you hold out the word of life. Now, I don't see too many, unless you go to a Christian school, too many kids that go to public school carrying their Bibles like this and meeting up with their friends with a Bible. We don't see much of that. And you don't, let me say this. It's not that you have to do that to show that you're a Christian, but how about being bold with the Word of God in your heart and mind? No one has to see a Bible. All you have to do to show that you're bold with the Word of God is that when you see a situation where God can use you to encourage someone, or to be obedient or something, you remember a Bible verse that you've learned. And you say, you know what? Maybe I should
Yeah, remember Pastor Ed saying something about doing everything without complaining and arguing. Well, Pastor Ed didn't say it, but the Bible does. But he did remind us of that. You know, I know there's a verse that says something about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Gee, I should do that. That's being bold with the Word of God. You got a friend at school who you like, who's a good girl, good guy at school, but you find that they're not themselves. You can tell that they're battling. Maybe their home is not as good as your home. Maybe they come to school and they're sad because right before leaving for school, their mom and dad had a big argument, and they came home from school, and in the evening when their poor parents came home, they got into a fight, an argument too, and it's just not a good environment. So when they get to school, they're sad because of what's happening at home. You never know that. I don't know that. You don't know that. But you know what? You can be a good friend with a good attitude and say, yeah, you don't have to drive into it and say, what's wrong? You know, is something wrong at the house? Your mom's like, you know, just let them open up to you. Just befriend them. Have the attitude that says, you know what? I want to just come alongside of them. And I noticed that you're having lunch by yourself. Can I sit with you? You mind if I sit with you? No, have some, you know, you can sit down. And just don't, you know, just talk about the day. So how's your morning going? Maybe sometimes they'll open up. But the attitude starts, it all starts with you having a good attitude over it. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Now remember what it says here in verse 5 of Philippians. It says, Paul wrote, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote and he said, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did Christ have a good attitude? Yeah. Was he being mistreated? Yeah. Yes, he was. Was he neglected and abandoned by his own disciples? No. Yes. But he maintained a very good attitude. Because he realized that his attitude and his actions were going to be rewarded by his Father. Okay? With you, it's the same thing. My prayer is that you would think about your attitude and that you would consider doing everything that you're being asked to do as long as what you're being asked to do is not a sin. Like if someone at school, some teacher is telling you to do something, you say, oh, I don't think that's the right thing for me to do. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to fail you or something. You've got to take proper action, proper steps. That's where the parents come in. Mom, Dad, listen, I experienced something at school today I never saw before. My teacher was asking me to do this, that, and the other, and I don't think it's right. Then the parents won't know what to do. Okay? But if it's something that the teacher that's telling you to do something as far as a particular assignment or something, you have to do it. Parents, you know, older siblings as well. Let me give you the conclusion of this all. What will you allow your attitude to do for you from this moment on? Will you use your attitude to glorify God? Will you use it to have a good day and to help others? It's your decision. It's your attitude. It's up to you. But if you display, if you can bring this thought to your mind that, hey, my attitude, my thinking, my mind ought to be that of Christ, or at least try to replicate or mimic or imitate Christ. We will never become like Him on this earth. But if I could do as much as I can to express the love of God through Christ as my Savior, then I've made a difference. But I need to have a good attitude. You know, when someone here tells you don't run around or, you know, help us clean up, you know, let's just do it. Okay? Because you're going to be rewarded for that. Not so much physically by one of us, but by God spiritually in some way. Okay? Alright? Amen? Let's pray. Father,